So you can imagine this 15-year-old boy who beats Michael Phelps, has the world on his shoulders, is going to be, you know, one of the best swimmers in the world, and just doesn't cut it. So what happened was we arrived at a big meet. It's his first opportunity to make an Australian A team. So he'd been on a couple of minor, what we call B teams for swimming, but first opportunity to go away, represent Australia at the World Championships. And we rock up at the pool and he goes, "I don't think I can swim today." I'm like, "What do you mean you can't swim today?" And he goes, "The water's too blue." "Well, look at the water. The water's always blue." I'm like, "What are you talking about? The water's always blue. Why can't you swim today?" And then it clicked. The nerves had got hold of him.
So how do you determine what success looks like to you? Do you base it on the results and outcomes or on what you've learned along the way? You see, society has conditioned us to tie success to an outcome. But the truth is, failure is an essential part of success. The faster you fail, the faster you will succeed. So the real question is, how can we redefine our relationship with not just failure, but with success as well? Join us to find the answers that will allow you to live a life that's true to yourself and find the clarity you need to make that life a reality. I'm your host, King Lau, and you're listening to the Plan to Fail podcast. What's going on, everybody? It's King here, and welcome back to the Plan to Fail podcast. For everybody who's tuned into the last episode, quick update. Things are getting better, and I think things are always getting better. And it really all comes back down to the mindset. I think that after having some time to process everything that's happened, change really starts with you. And it really starts with your perspective. And I think that this is why I am so passionate when it comes to helping people shift their perspective. Because if you're able to shift the way you see things, that could literally change your life, because you will be approaching each challenge, each set of circumstances a lot differently if you're able to shift your perspective. Obviously, you can shift it either towards a more positive light or a more negative light, but that's a decision that's up to you, but it's possible to shift your life. And it all starts with shifting your perspective. So as I am continuing to curate new guest speakers to interview on the show, today I have another BYOB replay for you. This one was an interview I did with Joanne Love on developing a high-performance mindset. Just because I know how important mindset is, and at the same time, recently going through a rut myself, going through this interview myself as I'm repurposing this interview for this podcast has really just given me a boost up in my own mindset and a reminder that everything starts with me and the way I see things. And it doesn't mean it gets easier, but it's always about becoming more aware and being more conscious of your thoughts and your actions and being able to shift that. And shifts might not come immediately, but even if you're not able to shift immediately, being conscious of what needs to be changed in order for you to improve your life and to achieve your goals. So without further ado, please tune in to this interview I did with Joanne Love for the BYOB Summit. Are you the person your business needs you to be in order for it to grow into something amazing? Chances are, you're not that person yet. And more likely than not, you will never really be that person. And what I mean by that is, as you grow, your business grows. And as your business grows, it will demand the next best version of you. So that's why it's so important for you to adopt a growth mindset, to understand that no matter how good you get, there is always somewhere to grow and somewhere to learn. You always have to continue to improve yourself. The more and faster you improve yourself, the faster your business grows. So today, I have a very special guest with me that will show you what it means to be a high performer, what it means to truly adopt a growth mindset so you can always continue to improve, to truly become the best version of yourself. So, are you ready to level up? Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Be Your Own Boss Summit. or BYOB for short, where I'm asking expert entrepreneurs from various backgrounds about what it takes for you to become the boss of your business and not let your business become the boss of you. I'm here today with Joanne Love, a high-performance expert and Olympic medal winning coach with a background in psychology and leadership. With over 25 years of experience, Joanne has helped many high-performance athletes in both Australia and abroad achieve success at the highest level in any environment through mastering their focus while protecting their mental health and well-being. Joanne has been featured in and contributed to numerous publications incorporating both psychology, leadership, and coaching, while being featured as a regular guest speaker at various conferences, schools, universities, and business organizations. Throughout her career, Joanne has been instrumental in helping hundreds of clients take the small steps to reach big results, and she devotes her time entirely to the growth and success of everyone. Joanne, I really want to thank you for taking the time and being on the summit. I'm honestly extremely impressed by the work you've done over the past 30 years in coaching Australia's leading athletes, coaches, and teams to excel at the highest level. But since I honestly don't think I'd do it justice to tell our audience about the vast amount of experience you have, would you like to share with them a little bit more about your background and how you got here?
Oh, well, probably if I start at the failure, which is, I know it's a question you were going to ask me later on, yes, but maybe start with that one first.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I had an unbelievable athlete who was a swimmer. So I was a swimming coach in my past career. And this young gentleman, in fact, beat Michael Phelps. Now, I'm sure everybody in the world knows who Michael Phelps is, but for those who don't, he's the greatest ever gold medal winner at the Olympics ever.
Yeah.
So he's just phenomenal. So you can imagine this 15-year-old boy who beats Michael Phelps, has the world on his shoulders, is going to be, you know, one of the best swimmers in the world, and just doesn't cut it. So what happened was we arrived at a big meet. It's his first opportunity to make an Australian A team. So he'd been on a couple of minor, what we call B teams for swimming, but first opportunity to go away, represent Australia at the World Championships. And we rock up at the pool and he goes, "I don't think I can swim today." I'm like, "What do you mean you can't swim today?" And he goes, "The water's too blue." I look at the water, the water's always blue. I'm like, "What are you talking about? The water's always blue. Why can't you swim today?" And then it clicked. The nerves had got hold of him.
Oh, wow.
He was under extreme pressure. He actually came from a family that was very notable sporting wise. So there was high expectations on him. And needless to say, you know, as much as I tried to give some support to him psychologically, I didn't know enough and I couldn't help him. And from there I went, gee, I've just let down somebody big time. And how am I going to live with myself if I don't go out and learn more? So that set me down the path to psychology. And now I almost have this hyper vigilance, and I watch these competitors at meets, whether it be tennis or track and field, and I go, oh God, their coach could do so much better if only they did this. And so now I work with all sports, and not just sports, with school students, corporate people, to improve their performance. So, you know, it was a big change for me and a big move, but one that I now find extremely rewarding. And I might say, poor swimmer, he never went on to succeed, but we're still on, I must add, we're still on extremely good talking terms. We, you know, awesome. Support each other all the time. So, you know, he's become a good friend of mine.
Right. And it's interesting how you started out as a swimming coach, but like even what you're doing now, like all coaches should have, because at the end of the day, mindset is everything. And no matter what you do, and that's why you kind of like went from swimming, like coaching swimming, to like coaching so many more other sports and even beyond sports, because at the end of the day, it all starts with mindset. And you know what I mean? It's interesting because it's something that mindset was only something I've really picked up, I would say 4 years ago. And even then, like, I mean, the first time I've heard about the growth mindset and the fixed mindset and all that stuff was from Impact Theory by Tom Bilyeu. And I always say that, like, I have to meet the man one day because he's literally changed my life. But even then, until I read Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, that's when I realized that even I thought I knew what the growth mindset was. But there's so much more, like, you mean, subconsciously, like, do you seek out those challenges and stuff like that? That's when I knew that there's so much more to learn, but it's actually so important. So, you know what, for our audience, it's what exactly is a growth mindset? You know, what does it look like from the outside when someone with a growth mindset faces the adversity?
Yeah, so a growth mindset is the belief that our talents, our abilities can be improved. So got a little exercise for you, King. So I want you to, with your dominant hand, I want you to draw a capital Q on your forehead. You've probably done this before, but which way did the tail land? On your right eye or your left eye?
It was on my right eye, sorry. I was looking at the camera. I was like, I tripped out there. Right eye. Yeah, it was right. So I did this. No, this is actually the first time I did this. Nobody has ever told me to do this exercise.
Oh, well, that's really good, because when it lands on your right eye, it's basically saying that you're thinking about yourself and you're trying to improve yourself. When it lands on your left eye, it's like you're trying to be something that you're not to other people. So you actually have a growth mindset. So isn't that good to know?
I so like that's that a, actually.
Yeah, so that's a little quiz for you to do. So when we've got a growth mindset, as I said, we look at ourselves and what can we improve? What can we progress in our life? What can we do better? And we look for solutions. So how we see that on the outside is, and I think a great example of this is Australian tennis player Ash Barty. So last year at the Australian Open, she got bowled out in the semi-finals. And she went to a press conference and all the press was centered around, you know, you didn't win. Are you a failure? You know, spruiking those sort of lines to her. And she turned around and she said, this is just one day in my life. This is an opportunity for me to take what I did wrong, take it away, go improve it. Prove it and make sure I come back and learn from it. And I love that. That was great. And I think that that's what we've got to see. That's what people see from the outside when people take these challenges, take these failures and take learning from it. So that's going to be one of my tips later on. So stay tuned for that. But I think Elon Musk, and whether it be Elon Musk or Michael Jordan, the key to their success was to focus on their goals and not those obstacles. So something to think about when we go forward.
For sure. Like, I'm just really curious now, because that whole cue, like, why is it on the right side when your growth mindset, and it's more of a fixed mindset if it lands on the left side?
Yeah. So when it points internally, it just sort of shows you that you are thinking about yourself. So the orientation of the cue internal, so it's focused towards your right eyes, it's internal. Right. When it's focused the other way, it's external. So you're thinking about the external influence rather than the internal influence.
It's just like a subconscious thing. That's so cool. Sorry, like, you just tripped me up right there. That's super cool. Like, I didn't know, because it's something that I've always growing up, I've been always very conscious. You know what I mean? I'm very, like, you can call it self-conscious, but also very conscious about, like, my thoughts, and like I'm a thinker. I think I'm like, you know, I love pondering on things. And like, even when I said I used to be so fixed in my mindset where, you know, I failed an exam and I would be like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. Like, this is the result. You know what I mean? If I failed on that exam, that means like, I'm never going to succeed. And I remember being so trapped in that. So it's very promising, because I've been working on this mindset for a very long time. And just from that, it's the first time I did that, experiment, I guess. And you know what I mean? It's very promising. That means I'm going on the right track. And so, no, that's super cool. And that's something that I didn't even realize. And I think the growth mindset is what really has gotten me here. And I know that for you and for a lot of like successful entrepreneurs, coaches, you need that, because at the end of the day, with entrepreneurship, especially, like, you're going to have to fail a lot of times. And I think that this journey is what taught me that, because school was something that taught me, you know, that you shouldn't fail, because if you fail a grade, you're not going to make it into like to graduate, to grad school, whatever you're going to. And I wanted to get in law initially. So I remember having to get that like 3.6 or 3.7 GPA to even get considered. And I remember every test I didn't get an A, I would just like feel like the total failure. So for everybody who's watching, right, it's so important for you to develop it, because at the end of the day, even only recently, a few years ago, when I finally read Carol Dweck, that's when I knew it. It's not even about just always trying to learn, but like, do you seek out those challenges to actually try and fail and grow yourself? And that's something that I've had to learn along the way. So, but I'm just curious, it's like, why is it, in your words, I guess, why is it important for entrepreneurs to maintain a growth mindset? And how does this mindset actually affect their overall performance?
Well, of course, a growth mindset is going to give you better performance. So right. I have an equation that I like to use with everybody I work with, and that's performance is equivalent to your potential minus your distractions. So your distractions are that fixed mindset. It's just one of the equation. There's lots of things in those distractions that affect us, but the fixed mindset is a big one. So, you know, what you were saying before, people with a growth mindset, they acknowledge and accept that mistakes are part of the development process, and they find joy in looking at the errors and what went wrong and analyzing it and trying to fix it. Whereas people with a fixed mindset more operate in the black and white schema, is it right or wrong? Did I do good or bad? You know, did I succeed or did I fail? And with a fixed mindset, when they're successful, it actually prompts them to nourish this talent is superior, I'm great, and they don't think that they can ever improve. Whereas those, when they fail with a fixed mindset, they sort of go, oh, well, I'm not good enough. I might as well just stop doing this right now. Or they look for shortcuts, or they cheat. So, you know, we have these athletes that cheat. I work a lot with athletes, as you said earlier on. I think athletes are great examples of entrepreneurs. You know, they're not paid to go out and do their job. They have to make their own money. So, you know, it's based on, am I going to be successful? Is what's going to earn me money? So we see that people with a fixed mindset, they'll cut corners, they'll cheat to get what they have, or they'll just give up and not do it anymore. So I think it's really apt that, you know, I'm speaking on the Vision Day, and I think that one of the things behind this, you've got to ask, what's your motivation? So what's your purpose? And that's all about knowing what your vision is. Are you doing this to be better than somebody else, or are you doing this because you want to be, you know, the best at something? And they're sort of thick mindset things that affect us and stops our performance. So with a growth mindset, you know, we're motivated to work hard, to develop, to persist, to keep going. And they're the basic motivating factors that are going to make sure that you're enjoying what you're doing, you're successful, and you're in it for the long run. But one thing I want to be very careful about. So there's this adage that goes, practice makes perfect. Well, if you keep doing it the wrong way, it can be detrimental to your success. So you can work as hard as you like, but if you're doing it the wrong way, you're not going to get the results. And then you've got to ask yourself, well, are you doing it the right way? Are your methods correct? Do you need a coach or somebody to help guide you? And I think Roger Federer is a perfect example here. So I don't know if you're aware, but he was an absolute brat as a 17-year-old. You know, you look at him now and he's this wonderful athlete that succeeds. He's calm, cool, collected. If you think of Roger Federer as a 17-year-old, he was another Nick Kyrgios or John McEnroe. That's how bad he was. Right. And he basically had an Australian coach, I must say, Peter Carter, very proud that it was an Australian coach, who taught him all about growth mindset like 20 years ago. In those days, that wasn't the terminology, but basically said, hey, look at your failures, or look at that shot that didn't go well. What can you do to improve it? There's no use having an outburst because it's not going to help you succeed. How can we make this better? And Peter Carter was instrumental in turning Roger Federer's mindset around and making him the athlete that he is today. And Roger Federer still acknowledges him now. So totally amazing.
Wow. I think it's so important. It's definitely developable, but like, I think it's partially like for a lot of people, like the whole, like, you know, nature versus nurture conversation. Like I do want to bring it up just because it's like, there are instances where, like, you know, some people do have that outlook. When they are more driven by the challenge. And there are going to be people like me growing up that feared making a fool of myself, that feared I'm failing. And I'm just curious, it's just like, are some people just more born with that, with more tendency? It's not saying that it can't be developed, and I'm actually going to go to that, my next question, like more about that, but the development.
But is it true or not that like some people are born with that tendency, or is it because that the way they were raised, you know, by their parents and their external factors? That's why some kids, especially as children, you know, when that's the easiest to kind of mold and shape their belief system around the world. Is it more focused because of how they were raised or because they were just born innately with that mindset? And obviously with like talent, it still has to be developed, but yeah.
Great question. I believe, like you, I believe there's a little bit of both, but I think the external environment can really affect it greatly. And I think that we can nurture it and we can change. And I think that's part of a growth mindset, saying, hey, I'm failing at this. I can change. I can develop. I can be better. So that's what a growth mindset's all about. I think the other thing you've got to understand with a growth mindset, we may have a growth mindset in one area, but we may have a fixed mindset in another area. So context plays a big role in a growth mindset. And then there's the other thing that it's not just two endpoints. You're either fixed or you're a growth mindset person. It's on a continuum. You can be either or, and there can be external factors that can throw you back one way or bring you forward the other way. So I really believe we've got the ability to nurture it. And I think it's not something that we stop doing. It's something that we continually practice.
Yeah, I think that's the irony of it. And that's the growth mindset. If you have a growth mindset, you're always continue working on it. And like, you know, if you feel like you have it all, you have that growth mindset, that's like switching to that fixed mindset. But so I've always found mindset as such an interesting thing. It's like, you know, it's like the whole debate on like, you know, when if you're truly a master at something, you recognize that you are a lifelong student, that there's always something for you to learn. The moment you feel like you're the master and there's nothing you to learn, you're actually not a master at it. So I think it's actually really cool, but like kind of shifting the conversation to like the development, like we both agree, like it's something to be developed. I think that is the epitome of what a growth mindset is always constantly working on improving yourself and the way you think and challenging yourself. But like for someone to truly develop a growth mindset and automatically respond challenges in a positive way, it's like how long does that actually take? Because like, even for me, I'm going to draw from my own experiences where, you know what I mean? Like there are times that like, I still have to be very, very conscious about it because it feels like that it's I guess subconscious reflex of, you know, trying to justify it or trying to blame something else and not take responsibility for it. So like you said, I know it's like a lifelong thing, but like, I would say that, you know, just from your experience of like having coached so many high performers and being able to speak on the topic so many times, it's like, is it different for everybody? Is there like, you got to be very conscious with like the first 5 years and then it gets easier? And yeah, so how is that, like the timeline on that?
So the question's like answering how long is a piece of string. So you're dead right. Everybody's going to be different.
Okay.
The big thing it depends on is how hard are you going to work on it? So it's a bit like a runner going out training. You know, you don't go out and run a marathon the next day. You train and you prepare for it and you keep working on it. And this is something that we don't do enough of. We don't do enough brain training. So, you know, I hear repeatedly, and this is one of the misconceptions that gets me really angry, is that we hear that exercise is great for mental health. And I'm not denying that it doesn't help in some way, but it's not the stopgap measure. It's not going to make your mental health better. What's going to make it better is, you know, solving the problems behind it. So, and what we've got to understand is our brain's actually not for thinking. So our brain's job is to make our body function better. So to make our blood pump faster around the body when we're running, or to make our pupils go wider when we're in the dark. And it relies on memories or habits that are stored for each different reaction, each different situation. So I'll sort of use the analogy of a self-driving car. So a self-driving car has all these algorithms built into it. So if it gets to a traffic light, if it's green, it knows to go through it. If it's red, it probably says, well, if I see the red coming up 10 meters before the intersection, I will stop. If I'm within that distance, I will keep going. So a self-driving car uses lots of algorithms, and that's exactly what our brain uses, all these algorithms to keep us going. And what we need is we need to replicate that. So what we need to do is we need to make our brain become a prediction machine. So if X occurs, then Y will happen. It's these quick shortcuts that will help us go to success. So, you know, our world's so busy, we really need these shortcuts so we don't have to, you know, try and get the brain to go back through the filing cabinet and find out what happened, you know, in 1966 when this occurred, that same as what's happening right now. So we need to have that filing cabinet open and ready to pull out straight away. And the Navy SEALs used this method to great success. They had an extremely low passing rate on it. I don't know if you're aware, it's like less than 25%. What? So what they did is they, you know, 140 candidates, you know, less than 30 get through. So they, what they did is they went to this if-then schema. So this, you know, if something happens, then what's going to be the process? What's the behaviour that's going to happen? So for them, you know, one of their big statements was, if I get knocked down, then I will get back up every time. Something as simple as that. And they used it in lots of situations. And their passing rate went from 25% to 33%. And you might think that's no big deal, but in the first year out, that was a phenomenal improvement. And, you know, it's been going up ever since. So it's this simple schema that helped them, you know, overcome these things, as well as a lot of those other primitive responses to fear that they had to overcome. So, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, we have to get up and speak. And, you know, I always have to get up and speak. And I do get nervous in different situations. It's quite funny, because even though I'm a past coach, when I get up to speak in front of coaches, I feel very intimidated. And that's when I probably get the most nervous. So I have this mantra in my head that if I feel my nerves increase, then I say to myself and repeat over and over again, Joe, you're going to be great. Joe, you're going to be great. And by the time I'm ready to perform, I'm fine. So it's these if-then statements that can help our brain predict what it needs to do next. So they're just some of the tips to help you, you know, develop that growth mindset and to develop that brain to become that prediction machine so that you can overcome those obstacles and you can learn from them. Because what you need to do is you need to work out, you know, what your past events were, what were some of the challenges you overcame. What were some of the things, the obstacles? And then you can create these if-then statements to help you perform better.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And that's why I think there's always that, like that whole saying of, like, you know, you got to think more like AI. Why is AI learn so much? They're not really smart. It's trial and error. There's no emotion involved. And it's just, if, you know, this didn't work, let's try it again. And I think it's really about programming. And that's why, like even this whole summit about being conscious, right? Like being conscious of all your thoughts, everything you do. It's not even just business, right? Because the more conscious you are, the more aware how your thoughts, how your actions are actually playing a role to your success, the faster you succeed. And especially, I think this really ties in with being growth mindset. It's actually really cool. I didn't know that that's what they'd used in the Navy SEALs. And it's really, you just need to program your think, if this happens, if, you know what I mean, the client said, no, I'm, you know, this is my response. Or if, like what you do, right? It's just like, if I get nervous, then I'm just going to have some positive affirmations. And every time you do it, and that really plays a role in it and really cuts a lot of the emotions. That's why humans are so smart and so adaptable, you know, and like we can actually grow so much, but it's always the emotions that hold you back. And I think, just using myself as an example, right? Even with these interviews in the beginning, and the more you do it, the better it is. In the beginning, I would beat myself. I'm like, oh my God, I screwed this up. Or like I tripped up on this. Or, and even with the podcast, I mean, every time I would be so self-critical. I'm like, this doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good, right? But it's just like, as you keep doing it, you get better. And it's just really developing the mindset that you want to do the things that make you uncomfortable. And I think just to add on top of that too, it's just like, the more you do the things like that make you uncomfortable, you really work on that self-confidence, because you really earn, like, something I've learned, like even the last 3 months, by doing everything that made me uncomfortable and forcing myself to do it, you know, pushing myself to do it had really helped me earn that self-respect too. And, you know, and it's that positive affirmation. So it worked and you get better. And then you want to continue to challenge yourself. And it's really about just getting started. But you know, like I know, Joanne, you worked with a lot of high performers. And I think just to kind of help our audience, maybe give something for them to chew on, even in this first half of our conversation, like what are the top three traits that are the most common amongst all high performers?
Well, I think you just knocked it on the head with what you said about confidence. So, you know, being controlled under pressure. So it's not the most talented that always succeed. It's those, you know, like with my athlete that I told you about earlier, it's those who can control the pressure. And it's that persistence to try new things and learn new methods. And, you know, if something doesn't work for you in one situation, so I gave you the example of the if-then process, there are so many other strategies that you can use to promote your performance. And it's having the will to have a try and have a go and work out what works best for you. And then, just don't stop it once. Keep having a go. It's not going to happen overnight. It's like going out and hitting a ball with a cricket bat. You may miss it on the first few strings, but you know, after a few goes, you get better at it. So it's a bit like that with learning how to control your pressure. If something doesn't work once, have another go. Don't give up. Keep trying. I think the next one is being fearless and confident with your decision making, you know, and that's what really, I believe, takes high performance to another level. Right. It's those people that are prepared to have a go when things may seem, you know, hard, or, you know, they don't know what to do. They just work out something different. They're curious, they're creative, they want to have a go, they're adaptable. You know, and I think we've seen that in the last 12 months with COVID. We've had a lot of people that have had to change the way they deliver. You know, we've had to go from speaking in person to speaking online, and you've got to be adaptable to do that. And if you're not, you won't keep up. So, you know, fearlessness with your decision making. And the last one, of course, is, you know, always looking for continuous improvement. You know, Michael Phelps, how many Olympics has he been to? 4 Olympic Games. And he still, throughout that whole period, he just didn't say, I'm the best in the world, I'm going to stop there. He just kept working at it. What can I do better? I know there's athletes coming behind me. Can I get off the walls better? Can I dive better? Can I perfect my stroke better? He never gave up with that continuous improvement. But the one thing I do want to say, so they're probably my top three traits, but you're not going to be able to do any of this unless you have an awareness of self and others. So awareness of self was that cue landing on the right-hand side. So if you can't see what you're doing or what you're not doing, and you can't see the influence that others have on you, forget it. You're not ever going to be a high performer.
Right. Yeah, it really all starts with consciousness, right? Being conscious, and sometimes it's not pretty. You know, sometimes you got to admit to yourself that this is where I am. I might not be able to change it right away and be okay with it. I say that with carefully, because it's not like, okay, that's who I am, there's nothing I can do, right? But okay, as in don't beat yourself up. Don't shame yourself, because at the end of the day, acknowledging it is the first step to change. And it's not to shame us into anything. And I think it's so true. And I want to really just kind of talk more on like the adaptability part, because it's so important. Adaptability, a lot of people say, I can adapt it. But at the same time, in order for you to trigger that, that adaptability, that adaptation response, you got to stress yourself. And I think that's where people run away the most, where they think I can adapt. Like, but in order for you to truly train it in yourself, and I know you agree with this, because it's, again, I'm a huge Tom Bilyeu fan. I listen to his like impact quotes, like mantras in the morning, and it really helps me. And I think that this is why, like, I just want our audience to understand, like, what you said is so true, because we all say that we can adapt, but like when you truly adapt is when you do things that are way outside of your comfort zone, when it actually stresses you. And that's when you truly become that next level person. And I think a good example is this whole year, I've been doing cold showers. I've been slowly working my way up. Sorry, with 10 seconds, 15, 25, and I'm at 30 seconds now. But like, I'm going to be honest with the audience here, like the last week, because like, you know, I'm pulling all nighters, trying to get like this whole summit together. I've been like negotiating with myself. I still did it every day, but like I'd be standing in the shower after my warm shower in the morning, and I'd be like, I'm tired. You know what I mean? Like I've stressed myself so much this week, I deserve not to. And then I'd catch myself like, why am I negotiating with myself? But like by doing it, because at the end of the day, like 30 seconds underneath like freezing water ain't going to kill you. But it has trained me to like, you know, be able to mentally jump into things that like just terrify me. It's always that right before you jump in, that is the worst part of it. And once you're in, you're like, okay, breathe, and you get through it. And I just really wanted to illustrate your point, and it makes a lot of sense. But no, I think growth mindset is so important to start with anything. But just to wrap up this whole first session, the last question I really have for you, Joanne, is for entrepreneurs. I know you work with mostly athletes, but you also work with a lot of other high performers. Like, I guess from your experience, what are the biggest challenges entrepreneurs face when it comes to maintaining performance? Because it's one thing to compete, you know, to like I'm gonna start and I'm gonna do it, but to maintain it at that high level, how does what are the challenges that come along with it, and does experience actually play a factor into this?
Experience most definitely plays a big factor. You know, when those obstacles do occur, it's that experience of what you've done in the past that allows you to help overcome those obstacles going forward. So experience does play a big part, but I think for entrepreneurs, we get caught up in all those, you know, the next shiny object sort of syndrome. You know, what's the latest fad? And you know, I see it probably more so, I see it in entrepreneurs, but I think, you know, sport teaches us a big lesson. There's all those fads about what equipment you've got to have. You know, the parents, they go, I don't know if you know this, but the sporting equipment market is a multi-billion dollar business every year just because parents have to go out and buy their kids the latest sporting equipment. Does it help performance? No. And it's like, I just see these things and I go, oh, and cringe. But, you know, I think entrepreneurs are exactly the same. You know, they see that latest product and they've got to have it, or that latest little thing and they've got to have it, instead of focusing on what they can do personally to do something better. And I think it all comes back down to that ourselves, our awareness. You know, what do we need to change? Don't rely on those things to do it. The other thing that I see is we compare ourselves to others too many. You know, it's the thief of our joy. We see, you know, some person that's making $1 million, you know, keynote every day of the week, and we go, we want to be like that, and we try and compare ourselves. And we can never compare ourselves to anybody. And there's actually a syndrome called the illusion of greatness syndrome. And when we try and equate our traits with somebody else, we can become undone very quickly. And you don't necessarily have to have what, you know, Elon Musk has to be just as successful as Elon Musk. Right. You don't need to be just, you know, built like Michael Jordan to be as successful as Michael Jordan. I mean, he was actually quite short. I don't know if you're aware of that on the basketball court. So, you know, he was an abnormality. So, you know, don't compare yourself to others. That's probably the big one. Try and work out what's your strength, what's your show, what's something that you do really well.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Michael Jordan, because, like, he wasn't the touted number one. He wasn't a LeBron James, you know what I mean, coming out of high school, of the king. He had to work his way up there, and most people don't see that hard work that goes behind the scenes on that. And I'm curious, just because you brought up, like, you know what I mean, like the shiny object syndrome, does placebo effect play a role in that performance? I know it doesn't actually change it, but, like, does that actually help your mindset shift in a way, like, I got the latest, I don't know, gear, so, like, I can do better? And it's not the gear that makes it eat better, but it's actually, you know, that placebo effect plays a role, because I do know that placebo effect does play a huge role when it comes to certain aspects of mindset.
Yes, it does. You're dead right, it does. You know, and not only placebo, but superstitions as well. That's another one. I mean, there's so many topics you could expand on there, but yes, you're dead right. So if you believe it's going to do better, yes, it can make you perform better. So if you're on some, and even with that, so speaking, I'll go back to, you know, entrepreneurs with speaking. If you're on a stage with a whole lot of top speakers, you will have that placebo effect to think that you're a great speaker as well, and it'll actually make you perform better. So interesting. Yeah, there's a lot that goes with that. So that's another whole subject in itself.
Yeah, as we're wrapping up this first half, I can honestly spend hours talking to you about this, because it's really cool, because some of these things, like, that you shared about or reaffirmed, like, a belief, like one of my beliefs, it's like, oh, that's so cool, because I always have, like, does it? But, you know, I've never really had the opportunity to talk to somebody who's actually coached so many high performers, and, like, just hearing it from you, and I know even with our audience, you know, that's a lot to chew on, because at the end of the day, like, mindset, it's just weird, because I guess there's just so many life coaches or like out there that, like, oh, mindset's just this mumbo jumbo, but it literally is like 80% of everything. And it's something that I used to think that, oh, mindset, there's nothing much about mindset, but, like, I was so wrong. And what I want you and the audience to understand is it is everything. And that's why it's so important, like, what you're learning here from Joanne. But honestly, Joanne, I really want to just thank you for not only sharing your expertise, but your decades worth of wisdom and knowledge when it comes to training individuals to perform at the highest level, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and professionally.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Plan to Fail. Remember, you can achieve the life you've always wanted. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. And until next time, stay hungry.